Hello and welcome back to the Connection Podcast. This is Javier.
And I'm Danielle.
And we are very excited about today's episode because we've got a couple of milestones that we're talking about.
Yes.
Number one.
We are turning 12.
Yes, so this is our 12th anniversary. Every July, we have the pleasure, honor of being able to celebrate one more year of Connect Global and the work and the impact that we're able to do through this amazing ministry and organization. It's pretty crazy to think about, but yes, Connect Global is now celebrating its 12th year. And then we've also got one more milestone that we'll be talking about today specifically, although we'll be celebrating our anniversary all month long starting today.
Yes, but today is also our 100th episode for the podcast. So that's really exciting and really crazy to think about.
Yes, so you can go back from several years now. We've kind of had a small hiatus during maybe COVID or around right after, I think. I'm not sure. But anyways, we've been at this for a while now, talking with different partners, people that we share ministry with, that we do ministry with. Of course, you'll hear Danielle and myself, our daughter Sage. But we also try and mix in interviews from pastors, people who've gone on trips with us, partners. You'll hear this month a little bit from our board members as well. So we try and mix it up a little bit so that you're not only having to hear what, you know, we're saying. You know, it's like the old reading rainbow thing. You don't have to take our word for it. And then here's the testimonials of the kids that like the books. But anyways, the idea of having 100 episodes to me would have been unbelievable when we started. We were just trying to sort of capture thoughts and ideas, share our heart, share some encouragement. This has turned into definitely some a lot of work, but it's definitely turned into also just some ways that we share our wisdom, our thoughts, our care for you, for others. So you'll hear lots of episodes on leadership, on relationships, on caring and loving for others. Certainly we'll talk about our faith and the journey that it has been. You'll hear updates from the field as far as the mission work that we get to do around the world, whether that be in education with you know, mothers, their kids, students. There's just lots of different ways in which we're making impact, so we'll talk a little bit about that this month as well. But yeah, 100 episodes has seemed to both fly by and drag on. What do you think, Danielle?
I guess that's probably pretty accurate. There's days where we're more motivated to do it than others. It has been fun in the past when we had guests on. But yeah, I think it's been great. I think that it's awesome to have, you know, some of this material out there. So, you know, hopefully it can encourage people, inspire people, challenge people. But then also for people who don't really know us or aren't as sure what we're about, it kind of gives them an opportunity to sample as much as they want, kind of who we are, what we're about, and without having to engage with us directly. We always welcome direct engagement, and we like to get to know people on a personal level. But for those who are still a little unsure or aren't quite sure what all this mission thing is about or why we're so passionate about it, I think it creates that avenue where people can go in and, you know, pick an episode or a few and learn just more about who we are as people, what this mission is about, and what our goals are.
Yeah, and I think to me that's the, you know, because I know that podcasts just in general have become even more popular.
Yeah.
Of course, Apple and Spotify have made headlines in the last couple of years with record-breaking podcast sponsorships and almost seems like a lot of content on TV, different shows are around podcasts, or they're making, you know, new shows and new movies from podcasts,
right,
and vice versa. So I just think it's funny that we, you know, kind of just started this as a sort of side project, something that we just kind of thought, well, let's just at least document for our own sake and just to kind of get some more of our ideas and our thoughts out onto quote-unquote digital, you know, the digital page.
Yeah.
But I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed getting to spend intentional time talking through both ministry and relational and leadership type topics. Obviously enjoy the last, I guess, year or 2 years where Danielle and I have done weekly episodes, because that was also not an original thought when we launched the podcast.
Yeah.
But I think it was cool because it allows us to kind of just check in. We have, you know, different things that we've talked about, different topics, different updates from either mission trips or our ministry things that we've done. And then also just sort of answering questions. That's going to be something that in the fall, again, we're going to start, I think, again, more of a frequently asked questions kind of dossier of things that people ask us or things that we are questioning, things that keep coming up through ministry, through life, through parenting. Because I think that's the idea, is that the connection being us connecting with you around all kind of different topics.
Yeah.
We're able to talk through the wisdom and experience that we have in building a mission organization, the travel, the years that we've lived overseas. So we talk about that a little bit. But we also, obviously, we in July, I think we can go ahead and say, but we're married. It'll be 17 years that we're celebrating this year.
In, yep.
Or this month, I'm sorry. And so we've been married, which allows us to give, you know, our opinion, our expert, as I would say, but our opinion on what it is to be married for that amount of time, to be able to be building ministry at the same time. We were talking with someone the other day, and I mentioned, you know, it's quite different to work with, live with, be married to, podcast with one person. You know, the idea of a lot of people have their career, their job, they go off to work, they come back, they, you know, have their home life.
Yeah.
But to be able to start and end each day working alongside Danielle has been an amazing treat. And being able to say now that I've been married to her for 17 years is extra special. And given that sort of context, I had been looking up, you know, the significance of the number 12, trying to find something to kind of correlate or relate to. And I found this one thing, which I thought was kind of interesting. In the sort of formal, I guess, or traditional style of gift giving for anniversaries, I came across one website that basically described a couple of different thoughts on what would be the 12th year anniversary gift, one of which being pearls.
Nice.
And so I think that's a fitting and kind of an interesting deal that I had, you know, did not know about before. But, you know, to me, I think the idea or the concept of a pearl being natural in the earth or in the sea, you know, being formed, you know, usually it takes just kind of like a grit of sand or a piece of just sort of debris, essentially. But over time, that oyster or that scallop is continuously growing and nurturing, and things are added to it, other minerals, certainly temperature, pressure, all of those things that start to affect that pearl, give it its uniqueness, give it its character, give it its strength. You know, those are one of the most rare and most strong and most sort of, in the end, beautiful elements that are naturally made, that I think God put into creation, maybe to show that it does take time. Things,
yeah.
Good things do take time. Nothing worth doing, nothing that is, you know, even beneficial to us is microwavable, so to speak. Everything takes time. And so that picture of that pearl continuously being formed, continuously being perfected, I think that to me is a perfect analogy. And we'll probably talk about that a little bit more all month, of how Connect Global, our marriage, our relationship, the relationships with our partners, those who we work with and we support in our ministry, how those things have become perfected over time. That doesn't mean that we're done growing. It doesn't mean that we're finished or perfect yet. But that process of being perfected has certainly been a part of our life and a part of what we've done. The heat, the elements, the grit, the determination, the length of time pressure, a little saltiness every once in a while. I think all of those things have certainly lent to what's being built with Connect Global. And of course, you know, we'll throw in with our marriage and with what we're doing together as family and ministry.
So might I ask what the gift for 17 years of marriage is?
Well, so that's the thing, is that we'll get to our personal marriage. But I just thought it was an interesting dynamic for the 12th year of Connect Global, because there's certainly been a lot that we've brought to Connect Global because of our marriage, because of the things that we've encountered and dealt with. But we also know that in 12 years of building something, there's certainly been some ups and some downs, some successes, some shortcomings. And to me, I think that's a pretty amazing thing to be able to be celebrating this month. And in order for us to find our 17th wedding anniversary gift, I think to me that's certainly worth looking up, because I know that our ideal sort of trend, or whatever you want to call it, for Danielle and I has certainly not been around specific physical gifts.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was kind of just teasing you, because neither of us actually, we're not big gift people.
We're not big.
We like experiences.
Yes, and so that's what I was going to get to, is that the idea of traveling somewhere, or even just experiencing something new, finding a new place in our own city or our own town or where we're living at that point in our marriage has always been more important to us. And so we have always foregone the sort of quote-unquote traditional gifts or the modern type gifts that people point to in these types of lists. In a way, we've always prioritized and sort of looked to experience as our gift giving, going places, traveling, just spending our time together, and always kind of making sure that we have enough time to do that in the month of July. But yeah, so that's why I was
teasing you, because you know, I don't really want a gift. I like us to have experiences. To me, that is the greatest gift, is memories together that we make and have. But I did go ahead and just Google it because I was curious. So apparently for 17 years of marriage, the traditional gift is furniture.
Oh, that's funny.
Which we're all good with furniture, but it says, it's because it represents the security, comfort, and familiarity of a long lasting marriage.
Nice.
So I guess they figure if you made it this far, you might need some new furniture by now. That probably would be accurate for most people or for us, but that's because funny. We've moved a few times over the years, we've had no lack of new furniture. So.
No, that's funny. Yeah,
and I say new, you know, that could be from Facebook Marketplace, Craigslist, who knows? You know, we get it from everywhere. But we're all good on furniture, thankfully.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Well, after 17 years, I'm sure some couples or some spouses will say that they need a good, comfortable couch to lay down on, so because they've been carrying this family for so long. So. That's the competitive ones.
Good one.
Yeah, so to me, I think that's all great. I think, you know, obviously gift giving and celebration and experience having is all in order for anyone. I know that there are many others who are probably celebrating birthdays, anniversaries, you know, whether that be marriage anniversaries, work anniversaries, things like that, this month and all year long. And so we encourage you to go out to celebrate, to enjoy life, because that's what it's all about. And certainly we've had our own share of experience of joy and just sort of celebration over the years. I mean, I just think about some of the trips that we've had to Honduras or to Europe and to Spain, Mexico. We've traveled quite a bit. We've had the opportunity and the honor to be able to do some of that. For both ministry and just family travel. But over the years, just thinking through like some of the funny, you know, I remember one time getting sick as a dog in Mexico because I thought, well, you know, I'm basically Mexican, raised in a Mexican household. I thought, okay, that should be fine, eating street tacos at midnight. And that really wasn't the right thing to do. And in fact, I got kind of so sick that I couldn't do 2 days of ministry that were planned out. So it was supposed to be preaching the next day, and I think supposed to be helping, you know, with some of the ministry and some of the other parts of Mexico City and just could not even get out of bed.
I'm a big advocate for packing your own snacks on mission trips.
Yes. So I was just thinking through like all the funny things that we've done, even just on our most recent trip. I think I finally now, after turning 40, I think I finally started packing a few granola bars and the to-go packs of peanut butter just in case.
Yeah.
Because it's just like not exciting, not enjoyable, not enjoying, you know, to be able to be sick on any travel, whether it's for pleasure or for work, obviously. Yeah. So I think that's funny, you know, being able to look back on some of the things that we thought maybe were going to be celebrations and were not. I know that there's been plenty of times where we've gotten delays in planes, where we've had, I remember going one time in the rain, driving through Honduras and getting basically just plowed into.
Yeah.
And just nobody knew what was happening. We didn't know, like, you know, I guess they just didn't see us. And, you know, but it turned into a good situation where this kind of young guy's mom ended up coming and helping and paying for the bumper to be fixed. And we met them and prayed with them and just thought it was kind of funny in the end because...
It was his fault.
It was his fault. This young guy, I think, just, you know, was new to driving and didn't really know what he was doing. But in the end, it's like, okay, we got to be able to meet him and his family and pray with them and spend several hours with them near the body shop that was fixing the truck. So like I said, not everything has always been super exciting, but it is now 12 years and, you know, 20 years in traveling. It has been...
We've slept under mosquito nets, we've slept in airports, we've had all kinds of...
Tried to sleep in all of those places.
Yeah.
sleeping in airports is not easy, as if you've ever tried to do that, you may know. But trying to find a quiet corner, trying to find, you know, they don't make it accessible. All the chairs usually have armrests, so you're not really going to be able to lay down there. It's questionable to lay on any floor, but certainly airports where hundreds of thousands of people tread every day.
And yet we have.
But I've done it. I've absolutely put a hoodie on, put it around my face, laid back, and, you know, put my jacket or something behind my neck and fallen asleep. And so there's been times of, like you said, mosquito nets. Where somehow the mosquitoes always find the one opening or the one partition that's kind of, you didn't get just right. What else? We've had electricity outings, you know, where it's like, you know, most of the places that we travel to don't have AC anyway, or sometimes it's kind of hit or miss. But when the electricity is out, really nothing works. So it's very hard to get
fans. If you're not lucky enough to have a gas stove, then you're not able to cook. You got to worry about a lot of your food spoiling if you're lucky enough to have a refrigerator. So lots of interesting dynamics. I remember one of the times when, you know, we were already living in Honduras and we had come back to the States to visit and, you know, to speak at different churches and different things like that. Well, we got back home to Honduras and our entire place was covered in like an inch of mold. And so it was like on my wallet that I didn't pack. It was on our couch. It was on our pots and our pans. I mean, it was everywhere.
Yeah,
in every surface you could imagine, there was just a layer of mold. And yeah, so we've definitely had some interesting experiences, to say the least.
For sure. And we've always tried to do our best. I know that maybe a couple of you listening to this podcast will either be able to fact check me or not, but we've tried to do our best as mitigating some of those things for our teams. But I know that there's certainly been some times where, I know Kevin, if you're listening, there's been some things that we've had to work through and figure out, and meal times that got missed or things that got kind of shifted. Certainly growing and, you know, working on the mission field, you have to learn to become very flexible. And I think that's whether you are 1 year in or 2 years in or 12 years in, I think you have to learn to be flexible. There are certain things that you have to negotiate as far as like, okay, if we, you know, if one fan is, you know, just for 10 people, like, you know, it's like, okay, do we give one fan to for 1 hour to each person? You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
There's certain things that you just have to kind of figure out, okay, that's not really going to work. But also you have to kind of find ways in which to compromise and to say, okay, you know, it's going to be hot, it's going to be sweaty, we're going to work, we're going to be, you know, tired and sore and all that kind of stuff, but here's what we're doing it for.
Yeah,
you know,
here's what always, the purpose is.
Yeah, we've always tried to tie that into the greater purpose.
Right.
So even if we're just doing a concrete floor, let's say, you know, but we want to make sure that you understand that that's not just a single concrete floor picked at random for no reason, you know, just for
although if you don't live on a concrete floor, just a concrete floor is of immense value to
yes,
you.
Yes, of course, it's valuable, but we also want to make sure that it's purposeful, so
right.
that we've worked with the pastors who live in that town. That pastor has determined that this person, you know, this elderly woman is in the one that's the most in need, you know, helping her finish out her house. You know, so there's some very specific things that start to go into that. So while we're just sweating and hot and tired and hungry and all that kind of stuff, we're literally becoming the answer to prayers
right.
that have maybe been prayed for years.
Yeah.
And so to me, I think that's what also makes it worth it.
Yeah.
The mosquito nets and the bad food sometimes and the weird, yeah. you know, electricity outings and all that kind of stuff sometimes are much easier to deal with. Because we know what the purpose is, what the end results are going to be.
I remember, you know, one time in the past, someone had accused our organization of being a humanitarian organization.
Yeah, and so accusations.
Yeah, it was an accusation, which I actually took as a quite an accomplishment and compliment. Because to me, it's always been extremely important that we leave tangible things behind. That when we're on mission, yes, of course, it's important that we are bringing hope to people, that we're sharing God's love and His grace, but it's also been super, super important to me that we leave something behind that actually helps the people that we have gone to serve. And not in the way, not helping in the way we think is best, but helping in the way that is actually best for them, what their needs actually are. And so I remember one time that accusation was presented that we were just a humanitarian organization, and that was meant to be an insult. I did take it as a compliment. But I do remember you and I having a private conversation about it and saying, we absolutely are getting to be the answer to prayers for people we've never met and prayers we've never known they've prayed.
Yes.
But it's not a far jump for me to come to that conclusion, because if I didn't have clean water,
right.
or I didn't have a concrete floor,
right.
or I didn't have a, you know, aquaponic system or something that could reproduce fish
yes.
and fresh vegetables, those would probably be prayers I would be praying.
Right.
And so to me, I've always known that we do get to be an answer to people's prayers. We don't know all the prayers that they've prayed. We know to an extent the hardships that people live through.
Right.
But there's nothing like living through those hardships yourself.
Yes, of course.
And so we are honored to do the work of the ministry. We're honored to do humanitarian work also,
yeah.
where we actually get to feed people. We actually get to give women a safe and dignified space to recover in after labor and delivery, that we actually get to put a roof on a housing structure for you know, families who were otherwise getting drenched every time it rained because
right.
there wasn't a proper roof.
Yep.
We're honored that we get to actually provide education for students. All of those things. And so to me, it is an honor to be able to go and share the love of Jesus and in what we see in His model of doing that throughout Scripture is that He was always meeting spiritual and physical needs.
Yeah.
And so that's what this organization has been founded on, is meeting people's spiritual and physical needs. And so to me, it is an honor. I am proud of the work that we have done and that we continue to do. I know how hard fought it has been to be able to do this work. And it doesn't get easier.
No.
The needs are always there, and the pressure is always there. But the reward is also always there, knowing that we do get to make a difference in the lives of people who need it most.
Yes, absolutely. And we have the track record for that. You know, we know that many businesses, churches, organizations, NGOs, many of them never get past the idea stage.
Right.
Those that do sometimes don't get past the first year, second year, fifth year. And so we're very proud of the fact that we've been able to sustain, sacrifice, fight for, defend, struggle to continue to army crawl at times towards this 12th year milestone, because we have not simply just tried to put ourselves in the shoes of others who are suffering.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that you truly ever can do that.
Yeah.
What we've tried to do is put our shoes next to their shoes.
Yeah.
We've tried to go and we've tried to say, okay, if you need help, you need a hand up, you need, sort of a way forward, we'll do it with you. We'll come and stand in the mud with you. We'll stand in the rain with you. We'll stand graveside with you at your son's funeral. Yeah. We'll do whatever it takes to be with you, to support you, to show you the love of Jesus in very tangible and very spiritual ways.
Yeah.
And so we've not shied away from either one of those accusations of either being too churchy or the accusation of being not churchy enough.
Yeah.
Because we certainly get it almost daily.
Oh, yeah. On all sides.
From everywhere. Yeah, from everywhere. And so what we have hoped to do and what we've truly have accomplished doing is to walk alongside those who are suffering, those who are far from God, those who are challenged by this world, those who are also who, you know, are just challenged by God, challenged by what God wants for them and for their life. We're not just talking about poverty in the financial sense, but spiritual poverty as well. The things that people, you know, with their marriages, with their children, with their work, with their bosses, the things in which they truly need support and someone just to walk alongside them with.
Yeah.
We've done that and we've tried to do that all of our life and in our ministry. And we have appreciated everyone who's done that and walked alongside us.
Yes.
Because from day one, we've always had people who have partnered in large and small ways, but nothing has ever been insignificant. Everything's always made a difference, made a purpose, and helped us make an impact. And so we truly appreciate that. We appreciate everyone who's listening on this podcast and who reads the Connection magazine. We've got a new issue out right now. But we just really appreciate everyone who connects with Connect Global, who makes a difference, who gives with us, who really challenges themselves to grow and to become an impact, you know, maker in this world. And so we really appreciate that. All month long, you're going to hear more stories about the maternity home. You'll hear stories about our education program. You'll also hear a little bit more about our sustainable programs, like having clean water access, fish farming, aquaponics, things like that. And of course, you're going to hear more about our partnering with ministers, pastors, churches, both in the U.S. and around the world, sending missionaries from the U.S., Honduras, different places to other parts around the world. You'll hear from some of our partners. You'll hear about them, certainly from us. But we just appreciate you tuning into this podcast. The next couple of weeks here in July, we're going to be sharing a lot about the ministry over the last 12 years and what we have planned for the next 100 years. And we are grateful for you tuning in and listening and really just kind of following along with us. So thank you so much. We appreciate your time and your input. We are grateful for you.
Yes, we are so grateful for you helping us get to where we are today and for the continued partnership. We couldn't do it without you, so we're so grateful. Thank you.
All right, please check us out again next Tuesday. Bookmark us here either on Spotify or Apple, and we will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.